Well, good morning, everybody. I'm astounded and astonished, proud and privileged. I'm Catherine, I'm a member of a Q group, and I'm sober today.
Hi.
And before I say anything else, might I please be allowed to congratulate the committee of this convention on what I consider has been absolutely wonderful. I've been to a lot of conventions, many, many of them. This one perhaps is tinged with a little sadness, because there are a lot of faces missing, a lot of faces who I grew to love very, very dearly. But I think I've had AA explain to me, perhaps in the clearest terms, when I heard Walker say that the older member of AA is the backbone of AA, the newer member is AA's lifeblood, and I really and truly believe that. Now, what has AA done for me? Perhaps I'd rather say, what hasn't AA done for me? Firstly, it's given me my life. Secondly, it's given me a program by which I can live that life. Before I came into AA, I was absolutely nothing, as most of us are. It was my last port of call, as it is for most of us. Perhaps it's done a few amazing things for me. My husband died about 5 weeks ago, and my grandson has been staying with us. He is at the university here, and I said to him he likes to take his lunch. He doesn't like the cafeteria food here. I'm not going to pass any comment about that. But I said to him, Nicholas, will you be wanting anything over Easter? Oh, no, Gran, he said, the uni's closed over Easter. There's nothing on. I said, darling, I have news for you. I will be there. So this same boy, on Saturday night after the dance, I didn't go to the dance to dance. I went to go to the dance to see perhaps all the old people that I've known to grow and love over the ages. And when we went in, I went in with Joan, and he was in bed, asleep, not asleep, awake. And as I got to the top of the stairs, he said, is that you, Gran? I said, yes, darling, I'm in. And he said, this must be the funniest thing on record, a grandson waiting up for his grandmother to come home. So, what hasn't AA done for you? I had a call from my young granddaughter, who's in the university in Washington, yesterday morning. And she said, Gran, we're so proud of the way in which you've been handling Grandpa's death. She said it was terrible when he died, but what would we have done had it been you? God, how many times had my family wished that perhaps I would have passed on? As most alcoholics, and I think it was explained so wonderfully last night by Don, this terrific disease of denial. How many times we blame the other person, it is never, ever us. Never us. See, if my husband had been good enough to go out and get run over, I wouldn't have drunk. There was no way known, in which I blamed everybody except myself. Now, you very, very often in AA you hear the hard luck story. I had no hard luck whatsoever in my life. Life was easy for me from the day I was born. Far, far too easy, because I had never learned to cope with life. And when I came up against the first hurdle, which was the death of a baby, there was no way known in which I could handle that. And I never ran for the bottle immediately because I didn't know about the bottle. But there was a running away, running away, running away. I don't know why other people drank, but I know that I drank because I did not have the moral courage to face up to reality. And that is what AA has given me. I ran away because I couldn't face life. AA has taught me to face life. It has not only taught me to face life, it has taught me that life is a very, very beautiful thing, a very, very marvellous thing, a very, very wonderful thing. It's given me so many things. There was one convention in which we were in, and we were staying in Hadley's Hotel in Tasmania. A lot of the old faces that are missing were here, and it was about 2 o'clock in the morning. We'd gather in everybody's room, in each other's room. You couldn't get into the room for smoke. And the noise was horrendous. So the manager came and knocked on our door and said, if you don't behave yourselves, you can all leave. Now, I don't know whether he's hostile because we're enjoying ourselves and not drinking his drink or what, but AA is not all doom and gloom. I've had more fun and more good times in AA than I've ever had anywhere. When I was drinking, some terrible tragic things happened to me. My husband decided that I wasn't fit to look after the children, and he didn't do that in a horrible way. He did it because he thought it would be far better for them and far better for me if they didn't see me in the condition in which I'd be, because I was a bender drinker. I would go for 2 years without a drink. So he decided the children would be sent to England to be educated. Our son was the ripe old age of five, just 5 years of age. He couldn't take it. He had to come back. Our daughter spent all of her school life there, away from me. She'd be brought home, I'd have 2 years sobriety. She would be brought home, I would pick up a drink to celebrate the fact that she was home, and she would be back again. Now, that girl married an Englishman, and I had been sober 2 years when she was going to be married. She was going to be married in England, she'd gone back again, and I think my son had written and told her that I was a different person altogether. She came home, and they were married from home, and as we were walking down the stairs on her wedding morning, she had done a lot of travelling, she was a beautician, and I said to her, Jan, you are such a very lucky little girl, look at all these beautiful presents you have here. And she looked at me and she said, Mummy, the best present I have is seeing you as you are today. What have I got from AA? I've got far more than money could ever buy. I have the love of grandchildren. I have so very, very much. As I say, when my husband died, as long as we'd been married, you don't just switch off the light. I had so many of my friends saying, but you're going to have so many lonely nights. I don't have to have any lonely nights, because this hall is full of people, and every one of you are my friend. I can walk into a meeting any night I want to. I don't feel an intruder. I have many shoulders to cry on if I feel like it. I have many hands to hold if I want to feel like it. What have I got from AA? How can you name the things that you get from AA? When I was drinking, I lived in a world of fantasy. I would be sent away overseas, and I always had a very, very grand idea of committing suicide in a villa in Naples. Now, I didn't even know what a villa was, but it sounded good. It really sounded good. And I was going to drink myself to death, and that sounded even better. Now, where I was going to get the drink from and how I was going to get the villa in Naples, God alone knows. But the most glorious thing about it, I was going to have one of those magnificent Italian funerals with great, big, tremendous black hearses with horses with plumes in them. And I was going to have millions of little Italian ladies with black scarves around their head and black stockings following me. And I never knew one. The only time they'd have known I was dead was that there had been a funny smell around and somebody to come in to investigate. And that was the life I led. When something would come on television, I loved to be the persecuted heroine. I just loved it. I'd sit there and cry with a bottle, and it was absolutely fantastic. Now, I also think that one of the things I got from AA was a tremendous power of example when I first came into AA. There was a late Alastair who started the Q group. There was Clive. There was Sunbury Jack. I mean, when you get into names, you're on very, very dangerous ground. One of the people whom I've respected for many, many years has been Bill here. And you see so many of these people, so many of the early friends that you've made. And I go to the Pran Market with my daughter of a Friday morning, and I think half the Alkies in Melbourne are in the Pran Market, because you hear, hi Catherine, hello Catherine. And my daughter gets so annoyed because she's in a hurry. She said, you're going to a meeting tonight, can't we get our shopping done and get home? But no, I want to speak to alcoholics anywhere I meet them, whether they're on trams or whether they're in the Pran Market or wherever they are, because I love them all. They are my people, and I understand them. And every time I've wanted them, they have been around. I thank AA for God, and I thank God for AA, and I thank each and every one of you people for being here. I thank the people for this convention, because the only thing I can say is they get better and better and better. And please, God will be good enough to allow me to attend the next one. I thank God for AA, I thank AA for God, and I thank you for asking me to speak.